Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins, and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
Let's talk about Caleb Williams's performance this past Sunday against the Steelers with an expert. Yeah, it is Tim Jenkins. You heard the opening. Now joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Tim Jenkins, CircaLasVegas.com. What's going on, Tim?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing well. Give us your opening comments and your general thoughts on how well Caleb Williams played this past Sunday against the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't think it was his best game, right? I don't think it was one of those where you sit there and you go, man, we hit everything. I think it was one of his better games from a progression and a read and playing within the structure of our offense. And then I think he sprayed a couple, right? I think he missed a couple of dig routes, which obviously you want back. But simultaneously, man, I think we beat a good football team. And it's funny because we had joked about, I think 2 weeks ago I'd come on, we had kind of joked about, okay, hey, we're going to start to find out with this Steelers game. Right, and then you feel like you started to find out, but then again, Aaron Rodgers isn't under center. So now you got that knock, and it just feels like we consistently have this where, you know, where our strength of schedule hasn't been great, and then when we finally get to it, it's like there's other things people can point to. At the end of the day, I guess all you say is we're 8-3. We appear to be a lot further progressed in the Ben Johnson system than I even thought we would be at this point. And both of those are things I think to be highly optimistic about.
That's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Tim, because Ben Johnson to me has been such a breath of fresh air, a revelation. He is everything, in my opinion, that we were promised when this hire was made. What is your evaluation of what you've seen from him as a head coach in what he's done here compared to, say, what he did maybe early in Detroit? I mean, it seems like this Bears offense is much further along, faster than I thought it would be, even if Caleb Williams isn't out here, you know, breaking the glass ceiling.
I think he's more, if I'm being honest with you guys. I think he's more than what we were promised. The reason I say that is because I expected us to kind of come in and be highly, I guess, like tactical would be the word. I thought we would be one of the better schematically coached teams in the NFL, which we are. You know, it's funny. I broke down Shadur and I broke down J.J. McCarthy this week as well. And it's like kind of a good refresher on what could be going on from a scheme standpoint and just like setting a quarterback up. You know, and I think KOC does a good job in Minnesota, but I do think they're limited by what JJ can do physically, right? I think it's sometimes good to watch other guys because then you're reminded of how just talented Caleb is. With that being said, the reason I think he's been more than what we were promised is because to me, I thought, okay, hey, we're going to be more, you know, we're going to be schematically sound. We're going to be all these other things, which is a huge upgrade from what the Bears have been in the past offensively. But I think he's more of a Sean McVay type, like truly managing the game, instilling competitive grit in the ball club, where this team is substantially tougher at all positions, not just offensively, than we've been in the past. And I think that's got to be a direct correlation to not only Ben and what he brings from a leadership standpoint, but the staff that he's surrounded himself with.
Yeah, and I think the best way to summarize this conversation is it's working. It's working. You know, maybe not at the pace some people want. We've talked about that, the good and the bad, game to game and all that. But on the overall, what Ben Johnson, his part is working. And Tim, I want to dig a little bit deeper on Caleb's specific performance against the Steelers, because you said correctly, I agree with you, it wasn't his best performance. And we could zero in on and break down the strip sack if we would like. We all know that that was like just a really horrible play. But why in general, moreover, you talked about the dig routes and you had overthrows in this game. Is that where he gets the points taken off in this game? Are we still at accuracy with Caleb Williams, or is there more to it in your breakdown?
Yeah, I think it was just, honestly, it was just misses. Like the strip sack, yeah, it's horrific, right? Mm-hmm. That's like a terrible decision. You could throw me under center if you wanted that, right? With that being said, I think a lot of that is just Caleb just, and I talked about it on the breakdown, Caleb has to start to understand better, hey, when are scramble situations? And then also he's got to be able to realize like personnel differences. It's hard to run away from 90 on the Steelers, right? People have been trying to do that for a long time. Like I'm all in on Caleb feeling like he's Superman and running away from anybody, and I like that in a quarterback, especially as gifted as Caleb is. But at some point, we've got to go, man. You know, I might be Goliath, but that dude might be David, right? Like we gotta, you know, maybe realize, okay, hey, this isn't the guy to try to run away from. So that situationally is the issue. The two digs, and the reason I'm really disappointed in them is because they were layup digs. They weren't like, hey, man, I got to drive this thing in between three defenders. They were layups. They were wide open dagger concepts, and he just missed them. It's funny then when you pair it with the fact that the Rome bender, and I know it kind of looked wide open, mm-hmm. but it looked wide open because he did a great job moving people with his eyes and then delivering an absolute missile. It's funny when you pair some of these things, because you're sitting there and you're going, okay, I've got one play where Caleb does elite level eye manipulation, you know, where he's moving guys and then getting to somebody else with a big time throw in a tight window. And then we just get on our front knee and sail a dig route, which is a wide open layup that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hit in my barn 2 days from now when I'm in the Turkey Bowl against a bunch of 9-year-olds. Right. So you sit there and you go, man, it's an interesting one with Caleb, because there are the highs, there are the lows, and the lows just showed up on two dig routes. With all that being said, I'm still really pleased with where he's at from you know, working through these progressions, but also where he's at in terms of hanging on these concepts. We've talked about that. Hey, we need to hang a little bit longer on this concept. It's a great look for us. He's doing that. So to me, we're trending in the right direction where, you know, we've got Philadelphia coming up. We've got some of these tougher teams, and I'm starting to really feel positive on those games versus maybe where we were at 4 weeks ago when I'm saying, hey, I think they got a shot to make the playoffs, but we got to survive this stretch. Now, to me, it's more like we might be in a position where Caleb's going to attack with the football, hunt with the football enough that we have a chance to really jump out on some of these teams. And then if we can get some of these other offenses to be one-dimensional, I think our defense has a better chance.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joined by Tim Jenkins here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. He's the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. You can watch Tim's full Caleb Williams breakdown on his YouTube channel. That's at All Things QB. And Tim, I'm going to take a look at that later on today. I'm really curious as we go forward now, because you're talking about the missed layups. We all played with that one kid in elementary school who could not hit a layup to save their life, but they could maybe throw it up from half court and make a shine. Like, how can the kid make it from half court, but he can't hit a layup? Does that fear exist where you think he's never going to be able to do the pedestrian at the level that Ben Johnson requires for his offense to really hum?
Yeah, for me, no. And the reason I say that is because it's almost like, and this is going to be interesting because I do think Ben's going to be great for his development as a whole. But to me, when I evaluate Caleb, like if you were to give him to me for the offseason, what you're sitting there is it's almost like I just got to get you to kind of forget everything, like play with a clear mind. Because it's funny, when he's climbing the pocket or he's navigating or he's doing something with his eyes, it's almost like he just lets his body operate and he rips dimes, right? And then it's almost, hey, I'm locked on this concept. This is my first progression. The pocket's clean. And then I sail it. It's almost like he shifts to his throwing motion too much, or he's, you know, it's too clean where we just need him to cut it loose. It's a fascinating one because honestly, I can't remember the last time I've ever evaluated a guy where this was the hang up, right? Normally when you're looking at guys, you're like, oh man, we had to navigate the pocket. That's why we sailed it. Or we had this, that's why we had an issue. You know, you turn on Detroit film, right? Jared Goff, you know, hey, if you put his body in too bad of a position, he's going to struggle. Caleb, it's almost like, let's put him in a terrible position. He'll overcome it, right? So right. To me, it's an interesting one. It's almost like he needs to spend enough. It's almost like his whole life has been fun off seasons of people throwing beanbags at him or throwing BOSU balls at him. Hey, you know, navigate the pocket, rip a dime. And it's almost like he needs to have just like a Peyton Manning-like off season. Hey, inside zone 7 hitch, throw the dig. Okay, do that 400 more times, right? Like, that's really the offseason he needs, in my opinion. Of course, you continue to sprinkle in the movement and all the cool stuff that he can do, and because you got to keep that trait there, right? That's what makes him so special. But to me, it's like he just needs one of those old-school offseasons of, hey, man, let's just drive stuff from the pocket on time with our feet. Plus, I think that will make him substantially more efficient through his progressions, and as we try to get him to be more of an 80-20, 85-15 playing through the concept versus scrambling. So that to me, that's where it's like I'm still really confident in his ability to do that, because if you can do all the special stuff, you should be able to do the other stuff. And I just think it's more of like a block training perspective, more of a volume thing than anything. I would be willing to bet that the kid has less volume throwing off of true five and a hitch over the lifetime of his career as he does doing driving range quarterback training, like I always joke about, right? There are guys that train quarterbacks and there are guys that train driving range quarterbacks where, sure, man, it looks great in shorts and a t-shirt, but, you know, can we execute within the game? And he just needs more of the old school, hey, man, just throw this on time.
Yeah.
Let's get a ton of reps at it. And I think he'll come into training camp looking completely different next year.
I want to ask you about one more concern. And there really were some good things that Caleb Williams did in this game that we can definitely get to. But there's one more concern that persists with me with Caleb Williams. And we saw it again on the first drive of the game for the Bears. And that was a three and out. Ball deflected on third and six. We've seen a lot of that from Caleb. We know what the Eagles' defense is. There's a game against Detroit where Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis combined for five batted passes. So this is what I'm thinking about heading in this game against the Eagles. What is that a product of, and how can he make that part of his game better?
Yeah, well, I think if you're looking at it from just the quarterback lens, it's a product of your arm slot, right? Caleb will at times drop his arm slot. Now, there's a big debate going on. Hey, does having a lower arm slot make you more rotational, which then adds velocity and adds accuracy, or do we need to go back to maybe a higher arm slot to avoid those? That's like a 45-minute TED talk, right? Like that no one really wants to listen to. But part of it's his arm slot. So that's what Caleb can control. Then the other piece is what can the O-line do and what can we do schematically? To me, you've got to hit him with screen. You've got to hit him with draw, which is going to then make it to where their rush isn't as consistent, so they're not timing up on jumps. And then unfortunately, like you hate saying this because you know, as a in the National Football League, part of you kind of have respect for the other side and, hey, they're professionals too. You don't want to take away their livelihood. Simultaneously, if you're going to jump, we got to cut you, right? We're going to have to end up cutting these guys and doing different stuff, which sucks. But if they're going to jump, we have to cut, and then we got to kind of set up, maybe bluff a couple cuts, bring some of the guys in from outside, wham them a little bit. Like, that's really what you're going to have to do schematically. You know, obviously, I'm not saying anything Ben doesn't know, and they're going to probably go into the game, and they're going to have some of that stuff dialed up early to where, listen, all it takes is you cutting them one time for a pro guy to stop jumping, right? He's going to jump the next week. This week, he's going to protect his knees. And that's kind of, unfortunately, the nature of the beast. But, like, listen, they do the same thing to us, you know, when we're running screen. And so there's just all sorts of stuff. So, to me, that's probably the answer from a schematic standpoint. From a quarterback side of it, you got to stop dropping your arm angle. Anytime you start to lower that arm angle, it's, of course, going to bring those defenders into it. And that's something that Caleb, you know, you drop your arm angle at times to get into certain windows. Other times it's just lazy, and we got to stay on top of it.
Tim Jenkins joining us as he does every week to talk quarterbacks and offense here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. Tim, I got to ask you because I've been parsing through this really over the course of the season, but now it's getting a little tighter because they are going to be facing these top-level defenses in the upcoming weeks. Packers twice, we know about Detroit, and of course the Steelers just this past week. 31 points against Pittsburgh, but you get the feeling that there's a lot of meat being left on the bone, and I'm wondering, when we see Ben Johnson's offense, how much more can they do as the defenses get better and better, and how much meat is being left on the bone with this offense?
Yeah, it's crazy that we're getting on here and it's like we scored 31 and we're kind of like, man, we could have done more, right? That's what I think is so special about when you truly have someone who's at the top of their game calling and designing plays. Like, it is what it is. We got to dagger like four different ways and it was wide open every time. He is dialed in what he's doing. His sequencing is great from a call standpoint. His design is great. He doesn't throw in like, hey, here's three game plan calls that we think are going to be open. I guarantee they're putting in 35 game plan calls, right? That's just what they are right now. And the fact that the guys are processing it and executing it is another huge compliment to him and his staff. So to me, it's interesting for me to say this, but this is the truth. I don't think the defense that you put in front of the Bears matters. Like, I know that that's crazy to say. I just don't feel like that's truly the worry. I think the worry is the team as a whole you put in front of the Bears, and are they able to lean on our defense so much that it puts our offense in a one-dimensional perspective? Because part of the reason we're so successful is because we do have such a good run game. We have some gadget plays that we're able to get into run action, play action, which, as you guys know, is only effective as long as the ball game is a ball game and we're not in, you know, chase situation, right? We start getting into, hey, we're chasing you, we're going to be in trouble, right? Play action, run action ain't going to hit the same, and then we're going to, you know, some of these concepts aren't going to work. So to me, it's almost like I'm not that worried about any of these top defenses we have coming up. As long as the game stays within a traditional game flow, we're going to be fine on offense. To me, it's more, can our defense early on in games stand up to some of these better offenses to where we do stay in a regular game flow versus falling behind?
No doubt.
No doubt, as we continue to talk to Tim Jenkins here on Raheemy Harris and Grody on the Score. I do want to ask you about some of the good from the Steelers game, and I guess specifically the one that I'm looking at right now is the DJ Moore 24-yard touchdown pass after DJ Moore had the taunting penalty. Was that his best throw of the day? Or what did you think were some of his best throws of the day for Caleb?
Yeah, I mean, you love the seam, right? That was great. And you kind of, I mean, I do love DJ rifling into the stands. I mean, that was kind of an exciting play. But what I will say is my favorite play was the mag route. We Mag route is kind of, you got to think of it, it's not a true in route, right? It's not like, hey, that's square in, but it's not a post, right? So we needed a word for the in-between, and we came up with mag.
Nice.
Now, do I have any idea why? No, I don't. Schottenheimer just told me that.
Okay.
Bradford echoed it, and then I basically was trying to survive. So now it's a mag route in our offense too. But what I will tell you is he has this one where he's under center, it's zone action, he sticks his foot in the ground, and he just rips a missile. That one was special.
To Rome? Was that to Rome on the 11-play 70-yard drive? Yeah.
Yep. And it was awesome. And then there was one later where he hits DJ Moore on like a 20-25-yard read route.
Yeah.
And it's one that I highlighted in the breakdown, and I highlighted it from the standpoint of we take for granted how far some of these throws are that he just puts on an absolute line that it's just like from his chin – to the receiver's chest, it's special stuff. So that read route was great too. And it's great when you can sit there in a more of a 4-minute situation and call a true run action pass and have confidence in your quarterback to like, hey man, we're going to throw a 30-yard read route. Like that's insane. But those were two that were really special. He played really great off of what we kind of call like a 5-plant with run action, where it's, hey, it's run action, but you stick your foot in the ground and instead of taking a hitch, you're just putting the ball on him. Like Brady and the Patriots used to do that a bunch with some of the trap action and stuff, and they'd hit Gronk. We're just substituting, you know, real dig routes from our receivers and or Loveland, which I think he's going to be long-term a really key piece in this run, whatever the Bears do over the next few years, because that threat of being able to do run action with a big body guy running down the middle, that's going to be special. They're just going to probably have to ease the amount of stuff that goes onto his plate, right? He's not going to start out with everything that you're going to see on Thursday at your Thanksgiving. He's not starting out with everything, right? Right now we just got turkey and mashed potatoes on his plate, but it's going to get special long-term for him. So that's where I just think this offense can go, and that's what Caleb did a really good job of this week with some of those run-action, play-action passes where he's hitting his foot in the ground, letting it rip.
Tim, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for coming on The Score like you do, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Tim.
Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. I appreciate you.
Yep, thank you. We appreciate you too, man. Learn a lot here. And again, that was Tim Jenkins, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. I learned a lot there. It gave me some things to think about, including, and we're going to do it right now, but just quickly, the fact that he is farther ahead than he thought he would be with Ben Johnson and what he is trying to do. And then I love the part about you got to know your personnel. You got to
KYP, baby.
KYP, Stacey King, absolute shout out right there. We got something really cool coming up here in a second. But first of all, let me tell you about something really cool coming up this Friday at the Wall. Gurney Mills Mall, located at 6144 West Grand Avenue. Olin Kreutz, James Big Cat Williams, and I will host our pregame show there from 11 to 2. That's 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Philadelphia the day after Thanksgiving. Catch the game on the biggest of screens while enjoying the MVP comforts of a Marcus Theater. I love the Marcus Theaters. There will be drink specials as well. It's all happening at the Wall in Gurney Mills Mall starting at 11 a.m. this Friday. Marshall and I did the schedule exercise together that, excuse me, we all do when the NFL schedules came out. I was doing an evening show. Marshall was kind enough to come out. Adam Studzinski did picks as well. We all did it. We all kicked it around. And Marshall and I are heavily trending incorrect on our picks.
But Studs is out here.
Oh, did Studs do better than us?
He picked like a 10-7 or 11-6 or
congrats.
Not even 12-5.
Cheers to everybody who did that. We did not. Sorry, not sorry. I don't feel bad about my pick at all.
Pleasantly surprised.
But we got 6 games to go. So Marshall and I are going to try to totally redeem ourselves and see if we can't pick these final 6 games, which will include the Bears and Eagles. So we're giving it. I mean, it's a weird week, man. So we're giving away our Bears Eagles picks.
I'm not giving a score though. I'm just going to tell you who's going to win.
It's tough not knowing the injury report too. So this is a risky exercise and enterprise about which we are going to take on here momentarily. As a matter of fact, we're going to do that next on Rahimi Harrison Grody on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.